You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in. It is a Tuesday, April 9th edition of the Gym Class from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We welcome you in here on 1600 ESPN in Eastern Iowa, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Great show coming up for you. We will talk baseball, all things baseball, with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer. That'll be coming up toward the bottom of the hour. Plenty to discuss, including kind of what overtook baseball over the weekend off the field as far as pitching injuries is concerned. We'll get Cal's thoughts about it and your thoughts about it as well as what is happening through the first 2 weeks of the 2024 MLB season. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. A look back at last night's national championship game for the men as UConn wins their sixth championship, second consecutive, as they took it to the Purdue Boilermakers in the second half last night. Selected members of the Iowa football team as well, meeting with the media earlier on today in Iowa City as spring football practice continues for the Hawkeyes. We'll talk about all that and more coming up. Love to hear from you on the text line or the phone line, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. And Andrew on the other side of the glass on this Tuesday.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
You over March Madness?
Well, yeah, I got it right. I had South Carolina and Iowa going to the finals and then South Carolina winning.
I did too. Well, I had South Carolina and another team. But I had Iowa in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yep.
And and the men's tournament, who did? I don't even remember how. I took Houston. I mean, I threw my bracket away so long ago,
it didn't even matter. Was out the window, like after the top eight, I was completely out the window.
Yeah. Because. Go ahead.
Because Clemson made it surprisingly to the top eight with what I was probably complete underdog in that entire situation that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we've got a winner in our bracket challenge from Imon Communications.
Mm-hmm.
Gene.
Yes.
Congratulations to Gene. He is a $500 winner from KGYM and Imon Communications for his prognostications. Out there. Way to go, Gene.
Yeah, great picks.
Better than ours.
Yeah.
Better than mine. I'm not going to say better than yours out there. Mark Dukes from the Southwest Side joining us as well. How you doing?
Doing great, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. Congratulations to Gene. A lot to talk about today, but I would say, having covered many, it's a better than average day for a Cedar Rapids Colonels home opener. They are looking for their first victory of the season after two road losses. See what happens.
Dayton tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And, yeah, there have been a lot worse. The best one that I ever remember and attended was, it's been at least 20 years ago now, and that was an afternoon game, I believe on a Saturday. And it was in the high 70s. It was just an absolutely balmy, gorgeous day. I also remember the first game at the brand new ballpark that was snowed out, sleeted out, and or rained out on that particular night. Because I was slated to do the game that night with Bob Brooks and John Campbell on TV9, and we never got to do the game because it got rained out.
Yeah, it has really run the gamut in April openers, but good for the Colonels as they start a six-game homestand.
Yeah, different, of course, from this day and age than in the past when you have these week-long series now, and you don't see a lot of teams each year as far as the Midwest League is concerned. So best of luck to the 2024 Colonels as they get things underway at home coming up tonight. Before we get into the college basketball, a little bit of news out of Iowa City today as selected defensive linemen and defensive backs. I know Max Llewellyn was in there. Also, Xavier Wampa met with the media and others earlier on today. And interestingly enough, Mark, most of the questions toward the defense were based upon, hey, how's the offense look so far? As you might very well imagine, there is not going to be a spring exhibition slash practice that is going to be scrutinized more in this country this year than Tim Lester's new look Iowa offense. A week from Saturday at Kinnick Stadium for that open spring scrimmage, if you will.
Yeah, and fans probably won't see a lot revealed at that particular event, but clearly this is one of the big storylines, if not the biggest, of the 2024 Iowa football season. Lester, we learned, has a varied background, a former head coach, an extensive binder of offensive plays, RPOs, and whatnot. Clearly to me, that's the most interesting thing of this upcoming season.
Talking with the defenders today, and all of them basically said to a person that this is a different offense this year for the Iowa football team. A lot more motion, a lot more RPOs. That would be run-pass option if you're not in your football vernacular here in early April, but it's going to be different, and that's a good thing. Not saying it's going to be better or anything, and like Mark said, don't base it on what you see a week from Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, because you're not going to see a whole lot, to be honest with you. You're not going to see Cade McNamara. You're not going to see a lot of people out there. You're not going to see, you know, the entire playbook. You're going to see the bare minimum, if you will, because they know other people are taking that in as well as the fans at Kinnick Stadium. But change, I guess, is inevitable, and change is good in this situation, Mark.
Yeah, and I think Lester's biggest task is adapting his extensive playbook to what players he has available. You can't fit a round peg in the square hole, so to speak, or vice versa. But indications are Kirk Ferentz has embraced this change, going along with it. Will it be clearly different from what we've seen? I would assume so, but that's to be determined.
Yeah, to be determined. We'll all see you a week from Saturday, or at least get a glimpse up to the future, as Iowa and Illinois State will kick off the 2024 season at Kinnick Stadium. Matt Fairfax, in responding to opening day for the Colonels, he's been to every home opener the last dozen years. 2018 was the coldest. It was maybe 30 degrees during the day, and it was a night game. We capitalized froze, but stayed for the walk-off win. I remember back in the days of the Pittsburgh Pirates with Willie Stargell. What was that? You used to get a Stargell star for staying for an entire game? Or was that when he was – was that with – am I confusing that with the Giants? I'm not sure. That might be a Giants thing. But anyway, they gave out – if you stayed the entire game, they gave a little memento to you because the weather was so bad in some instances. But, hey, you should have got a Colonel star or a red star or whatever for that that particular evening. 3:13, going to shift things here. We're going to talk with Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit, but do want to reflect on what happened last night in Phoenix. Glendale, to be exact, as Connecticut flexed their muscles, and you could say, Mark, in fact, you should say, the most dominating run through an NCAA tournament in the history of the expanded field when 64 or 68 teams. UConn set that record last night for margin of victory as they had yet again a solid second half in taking a close game in halftime and polishing off the Purdue Boilermakers last night for the national championship.
Yeah, it's actually been, back-to-back championships. UConn has won 12 games in that two-year stretch in the NCAA tournament, and all of them by 13 points or more. Think about that. You know, there's upsets along the way. Close games typically when you get toward the Final Four and in the Final Four, but UConn ended up dominating the thing. And to me, it was the passing, the screening, the back cutting, and ultimately the game planning by Dan Hurley to take away Purdue's outside game. Purdue, the second best team in the country shooting 3-point field goals, only had 7 attempts. That's pretty good game planning and execution.
It is. And it takes two to tango. I agree with you. I thought UConn had a very good defensive game plan. Get out on the 3-point line. Yeah, you're going to give up some points to Edey, but I mean, my key yesterday was get out on Smith and Lawyer and make their lives miserable on the 3-point line. If Purdue shot well from three, I thought Purdue had a chance. And at halftime, I still thought Purdue had a chance to win that game. I did not think it was a sound game plan coming in by Matt Painter. They were going to shove it inside to Zach Edey all night long. Now, that's not a bad game plan, yes, but in this day and age, you've got to supplement that with some outside shots. And even down 18 in the second half, I mean, Purdue's still trying to get it inside. They did a pretty good job of getting the UConn bigs into foul trouble. They fouled out Johnson. Klingon got 4, I think. And by that time, it was all said and done anyway. But I questioned what Purdue did. They did not do any inside-out kicks or anything like that when they had the chance to do it. It was just it was kind of a stunner to me.
That's what I was going to say. Edey, as good as he is inside, he's also a really good passer. Dump it in, kick it out. And UConn took that away from Purdue. Again, brilliant game planning and execution. Cades and Troy on the text line. Hurley is a great coach, but also a little crazy.
No, he's a lot crazy.
Hurley thinks every foul, a block charge, is a flop against his team. You saw it multiple times last night. That's a flop. That's a flop.
He touched one of his players on the court. I tell you what, there is not a whole lot of difference other than wardrobe between, you know, obvious differences. But, you know, he's kind of the Kim Mulkey of the men's game. Can I say that?
I never made that correlation, but I suppose you can stretch the truth a little bit.
I mean, he's on the court. He is never in the coaching box.
He's animated.
He is animated.
Okay.
He is animated. And I laughed when he actually reached down and pushed his own guy. I had not seen that in a long time in a college basketball game. But Hurley did that. By the way, the big star mark of the entire NCAA tournament, and I tip my hat to him, I thought was Ian Eagle of CBS.
Mm-hmm.
He was sensational from the first round to the championship game. Jim Nance was terrific, but Ian Eagle moved right into that position and did a tremendous, tremendous job. And thank goodness Bill Raftery is as good as he is because there wasn't a whole lot to talk about the last 8 minutes of that basketball game. But they found things to discuss.
No, I agree with you on Eagle. He's good in almost everything he does, and that was true in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, really was. And well, UConn, we'll see. Castle's a freshman. Klingon has 2 more years of eligibility if he chooses to come back. We'll see. Caravan, people like that. Maybe the Cam Spencer was the guy, Mark, I think was the unsung hero for that UConn team. Not only last night, but all throughout the tournament.
Was he that good at Rutgers? He didn't stick out to me.
He was fine at Rutgers, but
he was great.
He found his niche with this team. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about Zach Edey. Is Zach Edey going to be a great pro? I think he can be a great pro. I mean, Donovan Klingon is a terrific player, and Edey basically took him apart last night. I mean, Klingon had his moments, no doubt, but Edey was really, really good. And much like Caitlin Clark on Sunday afternoon with her terrific college career coming to an end, you can say the same thing for Zach Edey. Didn't get nearly the spotlight, I think, obviously, that Caitlin did. Inside scorers are treated much different than outside shooters are concerned. But, man, Zach Edey is going to leave his imprint on the world of college men's basketball.
No doubt. Every Big Ten coach glad to see him go. And Cyclone Tim on the text line, he's a Hurley, enough said. And that makes me, you know, are the Hurleys one of the first families of basketball? We know about his dad's career in the high school ranks. We know about Bobby Hurley. And now we're gaining, learning a whole lot more about Dan Hurley. And this has got to be one of the first families of basketball.
It is. It is. And Bobby's just has not had the same amount of success as far as being a head coach is concerned as Danny has. Now, obviously, Danny didn't have as much playing success as Bobby did, but crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Cyclone Tim also, don't get Mark started in preseason basketball polls.
You got that right, Tim.
Yes, Iowa State is in everybody's top 10, some top fives, despite the fact they lost a lot on the interior. I don't know how you can come up with this because we don't know who's leaving and who's coming yet. But for what it is, yes, Iowa State is number four in Fox Sports, and I think they're number four in CBS as well for the way too early top 25s. We should just do a segment for you, Mark, each week on Mark talks about preseason basketball poll or preseason polls in whatever sport.
That's one to keep me quiet, I guess. By the way, Iowa State finishing number eight in the final AP men's poll. And I frankly don't know why they do that poll.
There's no reason for it.
Number one team is going to be the national champion, right?
There's no reason for it. I agree with you. I'm not real sure why they do that. 319-366-1600. If somebody did not vote for the national champion, they would be called out so much in this day and age as far as their vote is concerned with social networking and whatnot that it's not even worth it right there. Going to get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update coming up. We got some golf news, and then we're going to turn things over and talk some Major League Baseball with Cal Eldred, not only about the first couple of weeks of the 2024 campaign, but also talking a lot about pitching injuries. That was a big topic over the weekend with the Major League Baseball folks and as well as minor league folks and others up and down the line. And we're going to talk about that and get his thoughts. I'm looking forward to that, Mark. I think Cal's going to have some very good things to say about it.
I am as well. The reasons run the gamut, and no better than a former major league pitcher and pitching coach to impart his wisdom there.
Speaking of injuries, Boston Red Sox shortstop Trevor Story out for the season with a shoulder injury. And the Red Sox off to a pretty good start this year, but that is definitely going to hurt them. All right, Mark, might as well get her to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They're a classic local American restaurant with a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room. They've got catering, online ordering, curbside pickup, and delivery. And you can take a look at their delicious menu online at emilshideaway.com.
One final in the books in Major League Baseball. Two teams off to a good start, met up in Pittsburgh. The Pirates gave the Tigers four runs in the top of the ninth inning, and Detroit came away with a 5-3 win. One game in progress, middle of the seventh. Baltimore leading Boston 4-1. The Heisman Trophy of college wrestling, called the Dan Hodge Trophy, has been determined as Aaron Brooks from Penn State. Transfer portal news. Xavier Foster, the former Oskaloosa, Iowa star, is headed for his third school, apparently. He began at Iowa State, transferred to SMU, and now is in the portal. More significantly, Indiana State star Robbie Avila has joined every Indiana State starter in entering the portal. Iowa City High has named a new boys basketball coach, familiar name, former girls basketball coach at City High, Bill McTaggart. Bill went to the state tournament, took Iowa City High to the state tournament 12 times and won a state championship. Masters tee times are out. And by the way, the worst of the weather in Augusta, Georgia is expected Wednesday night into Thursday morning, meaning that anybody has a Thursday morning tee time may be on the wrong end of it. We shall see. Those with morning tee times include Hideki Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods afforded a 124 Central, 224 Eastern tee time. And 2007 champion Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids will tee it up at 9 a.m. local time, 8 a.m. Central, with Corey Connors and Australian amateur Jasper Stubbs.
Tiger meeting the media earlier on today, saying that his body hurts every day. And also pontificating about, just looking back as far as golf and the Masters. And had a lot of interesting things to say today. Tiger goes off late Thursday. If there is the amount of rain they are predicting to come down, 1 to 2 inches, there's a pretty good chance they're not going to start on time. Worst thing for Tiger would be to get started late Thursday, Mark, and to have to turn around early Friday in the cool conditions and wet conditions and have to come out again. And we'll see. It's going to be a fun Masters. We're going to talk about that with Brian Haas tomorrow on Caddy Smack on the Jim Class, our first edition to Caddy Smack. That's the first sure sign of spring in Eastern Iowa, is when we talk golf. That'll be coming up tomorrow. But we're going to talk baseball coming up next. Cal Eldred will join us, and we have a bevy of subjects to talk about with Cal. We'll do it when we come back here on the Jim Class for a Tuesday right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have sunny skies today with temperatures in the low to mid 60s. A little breezy at times, but that wind backs off tonight. We'll drop down to a low around 40 with clear skies. Tomorrow we'll start sunny. Temperatures will climb into the mid to upper 60s. We are going to have clouds building in during the afternoon and evening. Those clouds then stick around on Thursday. We may have a few showers around as well. Temperatures held close to 60 with windy conditions. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1 gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on, be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream. Only from Quickstar.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Back with you at 3:30 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we get ready to talk some baseball with Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. A couple of texts to get to here. Let's see. Talking about Indiana State, and I think it's just absolutely terrible what is happening. And Kevin Lehman, we're going to talk one more time with him coming up, Mark, on Thursday. And he laid it out on the line last week. He said the Missouri Valley and other conferences like that are just basically the minor leagues for college basketball now. And Indiana State having 10 players in the portal. Their coach is going to St. Louis, was given a big-time raise, but turned it down because he knows that he can't win there. They gave him a bunch of NIL money to work with, but he said it's not enough in this day and age. And I don't know. We'll talk about it with Kevin on Thursday, but I am more and more thinking of the fact that we're going to have two tournaments before long, one for the power conference teams and just one for everybody else. Maybe that's the NIT now. I don't know, but something's got to be done.
Yeah, I don't know. The Indiana State situation has, I think, as much to do with Josh Schertz going to St. Louis, which I think is a very curious move anyway. I think it has as much to do with him leaving rather than much disappointment with Indiana State. But Kevin Lehman will have an opinion.
Yes, he will. That'll be coming up on Thursday. Right now, we talk baseball. Cal Eldred joining us right now, joins us every other Tuesday to talk Major League Baseball and everything associated with baseball as we are 2 weeks into the season here. And some trends starting to develop anyway, Cal. Everyone's got to be patient, but I think my patience is wearing a little thin. I got to say that early.
Well, you know, Scott, I'll tell you, the injuries to two guys that you just can't have injuries to, the young pitching, and those are the things that I don't want to say the White Sox were planning on those injuries, but you know, you really can't have Roberts out of the lineup, and that is what was really killing them. Plus, you do have some young pitching, and their schedule hasn't been easy. So it's something so far. I want to tell you to hang in there, but you just and especially in that division, and especially with the injury to Royce Lewis in Minnesota. So it doesn't look very good, but I think overall the White Sox knew they were gonna be somewhat in a rebuilding mode. So I just don't think they thought it would be quite this slow of a start.
Averaging just over one run a game, and now on schedule projection to win 55 games. That's not good. I just hope, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Pedro Grifol. You know him very, very well, and this is obviously not his fault. He's just been inherited this team and this mess, and unfortunately, he's got a broom right now trying to clean it up.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to put it. I've talked with Pedro, talked to him this offseason, and, you know, I think this because of where they're at. I mean, when you lose your ace too, and Dylan Cease, you know, those are one of the things I talked to him about, and he said he would lose a lot of sleep if he left him. So I know he's not sleeping much, and the start hasn't helped. But I think the organization understands that they have made some moves that are pushing them away from being competitive. And I think Pedro knows he's got a lot of things to clean up, get them moving in the right direction. And it's a tough place to be. I'm very familiar with that kind of a situation. So you just got to keep pushing and keep pushing those players to learn as fast as they can.
Cal, I recall a couple weeks ago when we made our predictions, I think everybody agreed that the National League Central would be the most intriguing division in baseball. And while it's very early, that seems to be the case. Pittsburgh, while it blew a big lead today, is right up there. Mitch Keller with an extremely good start last night. Milwaukee, despite losing two terrific pitchers, that's still a pretty darn good lineup. And, you know, Chicago, Cincinnati, St. Louis, I mean, you can make a, you know, average or strong case for all of them. What do you think?
Well, so this is why I like the National League Central. I think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch than it will the American League Central, because there can be a lot of balance in the Central. And the Pirates honestly shouldn't have lost the game. I mean, Bednar has blown three saves. I actually watched the end of the game today, and he's just not sharp. That's just all there is to it. Milwaukee's scoring enough runs. They've got the young rookie that has played really well. The pitching's actually been pretty good for the Cubs. Cincinnati, you know, they've had some ups and downs already, but, you know, St. Louis has probably played better than being a game below 500. So it's, you know, what I see these teams doing, Mark, is winning the games. The Central, if they win the games that they're supposed to win, then this Central is going to be even more exciting when they're playing each other. Win the games when they're playing teams from other divisions that they should win. The Central is going to be pretty fun to watch in the National League.
It is. And mentioned the Pirates. They, you know, it's hard to be 12-0. Some things go wrong. But as you talked about, they had a chance to be 12-0 at this time. But I like the young arms that the Pirates have. And if Mitch Keller can continue to lead, Pittsburgh, I think, can stay in this thing.
Well, and I think Mitch finds himself very quickly in a position to where what he does day in and day out, with the way he goes about his business between his starts, the stuff that he does off the mound is going to be as important for his club as what he does on the mound. And I think I don't know if I know how it is to be young like that and have those expectations put on you, but I think Mitch can handle it. And it's something that, once again, it's something that he's going to learn in his young career that is happening pretty fast to him. So if he can just continue to focus on taking care of his job and doing what I know he's capable of doing, then people will watch what he does, and he'll do exceptionally well.
Cal, let's get into our hot topic of the day, and that is injuries, especially to pitchers. 132 of them started on the injured list this year on opening day, and more have joined, as you know, like Strider and Bieber and others. There are a variety of opinions, but you, as a former major league pitcher and coach, may have the ultimate insight. I don't know, but again, the opinions are varied. Where do you land?
I saw what Justin Verlander had to say on X the other day, and I don't disagree with him. There's another article, if people want to read up on this, that where MLB issues a response to the Players Association statement on pitcher injuries by Mark Feinsohn. And I think Dr. Andrews, Dr. Andrews has a response in there and talks about the increase in Tommy John surgeries, especially in youth. And I think you look at what Justin talks about And his point was pitchers are always trying to throw the ball as hard as they can with the nastiest spin they can, no matter what the pitch is. And there's a lot of the feel for pitching is gone. And you see a lot of walks. You see a lot of high pitches. You see pitchers not going very deep in games because you're searching for swing and miss. And when you're doing that and you're redlining all the time, we're human, let alone being a machine that's redlining all the time, and you're going to have more injuries. And I'm not saying that pitchers in the past didn't try to throw hard all the time, but there is something about going 80% and staying under control and commanding your pitches. And I think that helps longevity, in my opinion. So that's kind of where I land, Mark. I think that the way that we have developed pitching in professional baseball over the last probably 8 to 10 years has had you're seeing the negative impact. And I think it trickled all the way down to youth baseball, where kids are like, it's all about velocity.
I had a very sage person in baseball tell me that there are only so many pitches in your arm. And I think we are missing a little bit of this. A couple of texts coming in, one from Matt in Fairfax, and 9843 also talking about young pitchers. And kids are starting so young now, and they're playing 100 games at age 8. And I'm not blaming anything on this, but you've got to be very, very intelligent when you are dealing with kids of that age. Our coach told us, and all three of us have coached before, obviously you've done it at a much higher level, Cal, but said don't throw anything that has a spin on it. You throw fastballs, you throw changeups. You move the ball around. You learn how to pitch. And I think it was the best advice that he could have given to people helping out with kids like that. But that is not always the case. You've got 8-year-olds out there that are throwing curveballs, and a lot of them, because they're trying to win, you know, the upper regional whatever championship. And it's just I think that starting off is not the best thing to your arm when you get to 17 and 18, and that's why you're seeing so many kids before they get to high school, now that they're in high school and certainly in their college or professional career at a young age, have Tommy John surgery and have all the problems that they're having.
Well, I agree. The thing is that the coach would tell you, your coach is exactly right. There's only so many throws that everyone has in their arms. There's people who are gifted to throw a baseball, to throw a football. And, you know, there's women who are gifted to throw a softball. And the difference is when you pitch in softball, it's underhand. It's overhanded baseball. We're not made to do that. So injuries are going to always be a part of the game of baseball when it comes to your arm. But, Mark, you know, you're exactly right. As much as the younger kids throwing off-speed pitches and spin pitches, it's now you see the tournaments where a kid pitches on Saturday 2 innings and 3 innings later in the day, and then he still has innings on Sunday. He throws 3 times in 2 days. And I know the tournaments have tried to, and youth baseball's tried to keep this stuff from happening, but the rules still allow that stuff to happen. And it's hard because young kids who throw good fastballs and have a good arm, if they're not throwing it correctly, they're still putting themselves at risk. So it's tough because it's the win now. One of my sons, Luke, told me, he says, it's the win now thought process that in youth baseball that really, really hurts. And it should be having fun, learning how to play a game that hopefully these kids get to continue to play through high school at a minimum.
Cal, in 1993, you led the league in innings pitched with 258. And then in early 1995, the elbow gave you issues leading to Tommy John surgery. I don't have to remind you about that. And then it flared up again later in your career. But my question is, was your situation relatable to what we're talking about, or what has changed in the 30 years since?
Well, I think, Mark, I was spoiled. I had extremely good, caring, intelligent coaching from the time I was in Little League. I played for John Waddle, who, if people know him, he's a Coon Rapids Bears, won over 800 high school games. John was my I played for John in Little League and Pony League. I played for Scott Brohammer in junior high and high school. Coach Banks down at the University of Iowa played Legion ball for Ken Sharper. So these coaches were always looking out for all of us to make sure we weren't overthrown, that we were doing things correctly. And then when the injury happened in 1995 in the major leagues, that was year number five in a row that I had thrown over 200 innings in professional baseball. And so for me, it was obviously I threw a ton, and eventually things happened. And I did get, I did have the surgery. I came back and had some bone issues, but was still able to play for close to, you know, 14, 15 years. So it's something that if an injury happens, that's kind of the course of events that it should happen. You're going to lead the league as a right-hander in innings pitched back in the 1990s. You're throwing a lot of pitches there. So I think that is probably a normal situation. Whereas now we're seeing kids having Tommy John surgery as young as 14 and 15 years old.
Cal Elder joining us here on the gym class on at 3:45. And also, Cal, wanted to ask you, there was been a lot of talk lately about the pitch clock, that this has an adverse effect on the health of pitchers and on their arms. That's been quite a bit debated. That was probably the biggest debate. When this all came out anyway, and there are people on both sides of the equation. I think we lost Cal. Andrew, you want to get Cal back on the line? We'll get him back on here. So, and why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? We'll get Cal back on the line, and we'll finish up with that question for him as we talk Major League Baseball on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. So stay with us. More to come after this on 1600 ESPN.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Hi, this is goaltender Hunter Jones, Iowa Heartlanders hockey team. Join us on April 12th and April 13th as we celebrate you with Fan Appreciation Weekend at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Don't miss this amazing celebration. Let's go, Heartlanders.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had more time in the day? Nap, read, talk with a friend? When you know what's more important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Visit BetterHelp, HELP.com/Freddie, FREDDIE, today to get 10% off your first month.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Back with you here on the Gym Class at 3:48. Cal Elder joining us here as we talk Major League Baseball, as we have been talking about the rash of injuries to pitchers. And Cal, I was asking you about the pitch clock. That seems to be the biggest controversy, people on one side or the other. It's only been 1 year, basically. So I don't know if we have the data to throw out there that it's been a pro or a negative for this. But your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because the Players Association thinks that it's too short. And I know that that's one of the fingers that's being pointed at the injuries. But I really think, too, that guys that normally work quick usually pitch pretty well. And so it's an interesting thought that they're talking about. But
there is, and I like to work quick myself, and I like to have my pitchers work quick. But I will say this, that there are times when you need to catch your breath and you need to step back. And I think that where the clock was last year was just good enough. And I think we enjoyed it as fans. I think that's one of the important things. I think that if the fans enjoy it, if they need to give a couple more breaks to the pitcher, then just give it to them and keep the clock where it was last year.
Cal, one final one for me on this discussion of arm injuries and whatnot, and it gets back to the youth, because I know there's a lot of parents and coaches out there listening and think they have an answer, but maybe they really don't. Your advice to those people and kids, really, the best way to, preserve your arm maybe is running. I still remember you running poles in Chandler, Arizona. Long toss. Maximum innings of usage or pitches. What would your advice be?
Well, I think it's important for the coaches. I'll talk to the coaches first. Is to always, I don't care how old these kids are, keep track of the number of pitches thrown, the innings that they throw, the amount of times that they throw in a week, and the stress. Because there's times when I've pitched a couple innings and it's a breeze. And there's a times when I've pitched a couple innings and it's really stressful. And it's going to be different. The challenge to this, Mark, is that it's going to be different for every player. I mean, this is really hard and it's going to be different for every kid. But the parents need to work with the coaches, and parents need to still, try to pay attention to how their kids react. But you said it. You can't just throw and that's it. You need to be doing arm exercises, shoulder exercises, wrist exercises. You need to keep yourself in as good a physical shape as you possibly can. Running is part of that. Lifting weights can also help with that. But all this has to be done at a, under control and not in excess. And so it's tough. But one thing you can do is keep track of how much a kid's thrown and how stressful it has been on him. And sometimes kids, it's really good for them to play another position and not pitch too much.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. And everyone watch some Greg Maddux films.
No doubt.
Go ahead.
Scott and Mark, the thing is, this is something that's pretty close and dear to my heart to help, coaches and parents. And it's something that I've searched and have thought about a lot as to how I can help, especially because I think the way the high school season is here in the state of Iowa, the way we have very, very, a ton of multi-sport athletes here in this state, the baseball players are in a unique position in this state, from youth all the way through high school especially. And so I'm still racking my brain on how I can best help people through this, and I'll take any suggestions, but it's not an easy one to answer.
No, you're right. We never did get a chance to make our World Series picks 2 weeks ago. We ran out of time. So I'll just, now that we have 2 weeks under our belts and to stew about it, I don't know. Have you changed your mind any on who you would pick, guys?
Well, I had to flip back a couple pages in my legal pad of notes, but I've got a Philadelphia-Baltimore World Series and Philadelphia winning it.
Ooh, the Phillies. All right, they're off. They're in second place behind the Braves right now. Cal, have you changed your mind on anything?
I think it's, for me, it's going to be the Dodgers and the Braves at the end of this in the National League. In the American League, that's where things get a little tougher for me, simply because, and I still think Texas has room to add to their team. And then I feel like, Baltimore is going to have something to say about it. To me, that's where you could have And you know what, guys? I have counted out, even though the Yankees have started at 9-2, I counted them out from a pitching standpoint, but offensively they seem like they've been pretty good too. So I still think we could see Baltimore and Texas and the Dodgers, both the Dodgers and Atlanta in the National League.
I like Atlanta still. I think the combination, if they can stay healthy, of the lineup and the pitching for Atlanta is going to keep things going. I really, really like the Braves. I got them beating my adopted Baltimore Orioles, though. And the Orioles have been fine. They're kind of treading water through the first couple of weeks. You know, you mentioned the Yankees as one of the surprise teams. I think Cleveland, with the start they have gotten off to, has been a surprise. And I think the Royals have gotten off to a really good start, Cal.
Well, yeah, the Royals, they did what I talked about the teams in the National League Central doing. The White Sox roll into town, they're not playing well, and they sweep them. For those teams in those divisions, they have to win those games. Detroit pulls back and ends up winning against Pittsburgh today to go to 7-4. The thing that's hurting Cleveland is that Shane Bieber is gone for the season. That's a killer for Cleveland. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Carl Willis there as their pitching coach always seems to get some good arms and keep them in contention. They've got a good club there too.
Really do. Really do indeed. All right. Well, enjoy the baseball. Grab some more popcorn, and we will talk with you again coming up in a couple of weeks. Cal, always appreciate it.
You bet. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Cal. Cal Elder joins us every other Tuesday, should say, and we talk Major League Baseball and just baseball topics in general with Cal, and always appreciate him coming on. Mark has some very good insights, and thanks for the questions out there. And yeah, it's there's got to be some more research, I think, as far as the pitch clock and that dealing with the injuries as far as baseball is concerned, minor league baseball and Major League Baseball. Like I said, it's a very short sample size, and I don't know. We're going to see this play out a little bit more, I know.
And I think if I was a coach or a parent now, as to when I was, I'd listen to Cal. Having been there, done that, and I know he works with a lot of youth in one of the local indoor facilities. Maybe not adapt everything he says, but pretty sharp guy.
Not bad. Not bad, indeed. And our thanks to Cal for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, our very first edition. We talk golf. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports is going to join us. Looking forward to that. Our Masters preview with Brian, and we'll talk about early season golf. If you have a question about your game, as always, you can get that to Brian coming up tomorrow as well. That'll be on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. One more talk with Kevin Lehman coming up on Thursday. And then Rob Gray to talk Cyclones, spring football, as well as wrap up the basketball season's coming up on Friday. Have a good night, Mark.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming your way next for 4 until 6. You've been listening to the Gym Class, KGYM.
Hey there, business ballers and entrepreneurs. Ready to make your financial dreams come true? Well, get ready to score big with Swish.